Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Locked On Timberwolves Podcast. Tim Fakeless, co-host, joins me in studio to say a temporary farewell to Nemanja Bjelica. Sad day, right, partner?
Yeah. You told me you didn't see it happen, but I mean, you saw the game. But you didn't notice the injury as it took place.
I was watching the game rather intently, more intently than I usually do while I'm producing podcasts in this year studio inside the Cumulus building in Dinky Town, Minneapolis. But, I just, by happenstance, I guess, during the couple minutes that I didn't pay attention, I missed the Bjelica injury. And I had planned to have Tom Schreier call him because he's in Florida. We're happy for him.
Yeah, la-di-da.
And he was stressing. He's like, well, I didn't get a chance to see the game live, but I saw that Bjelica got injured, and I've done some math in regards to how the Nuggets and the Wolves need to do to finish ahead of one. Anyway, so, yeah, I obviously have been hearing all about it, but I missed it. Can you describe the play where he got hurt? It's a left foot injury.
No, I can't. I saw when he was limping, and I believe it took place at the end of either the second or the third, and I'm blanking on which. I think it was the third, but I could be wrong. I just know at some point he was limping. It was noticeable. It was after a foul. I think he was going up for an offensive board, as he
is one to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Has
not even an offensive board, like an offensive tip out.
Yeah, exactly. He's trying to tap it out to Ricky.
I'll miss the tip outs.
Suddenly, when I think someone was about to shoot free throws, he was limping back to the 3-point line. They didn't take him out as the dead ball took place. Tibbs either missed it or
walk it off.
Exactly.
In the Tibbs voice.
Get ready to ice.
That's so.
Yeah.
Like it's like that dude from Crash Bandicoot, Booty Baga.
Yeah,
remember that guy?
So Tibbs is the guy from Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, Booty Baga.
Great,
Booty Baga.
And at some point after the injury took place, he took a three and missed it, and he just didn't look like himself. I guess he tried to walk it off; it didn't work, and now he's out for the season. It's being listed as an undisclosed foot injury that requires second or third opinions from other doctors. Hopefully, that's not too bad of a thing. I mean, it can't be good if he's missing, like, certain to miss the rest of the year.
Yeah, here's the press release from the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Timberwolves today announced that an MRI taken this morning revealed that Nemanja Bjelica suffered an injury to his left foot. Bjelica is seeking medical opinions from the appropriate specialist to determine his treatment options and will miss the remainder of the season. Further updates as to Bjelica's progress will be issued when more information becomes available. So, typical stuff, but out for the season. They've decided to shut him down. That's concerning. And we're in year two of Bjelica, so bam, we're going
to
be in a Bjelica contract.
Yeah, we're about
contract
to be in year
here.
Three Bjelica.
Oh my goodness. Sadly, that's
a contract year Bjelica.
Yeah,
okay.
Sadly, that's a more appropriate context to use three Bjelica than his performance this season. Am I right?
Yeah, probably. My question going forward, and maybe I'm thinking, well, I'm not thinking too far ahead. I'm thinking in the now.
That's
Lance
fine.
Stevenson was announced
race.
Is also
the Wolves are
listed as injured. He re-injured his ankle, according to Tom Thibodeau. He'll be re-evaluated. Maybe he already has been evaluated, and I missed it.
Well, we heard it. That was audio from yesterday. Thibodeau, you know, off-air, Tim and I were listening to the SoundCloud Wolves radio, and Thibodeau said that Stevenson would be reevaluated today, but I haven't done any due diligence.
I haven't seen anything about it. At any rate, I assume a guy that's had two ankle injuries in about four games isn't likely to stick around much longer. With Bjelica being up for the year and then being in a playoff push, do you think the odds of them signing a four to end the season is likely? Because if this year is any indicator, Jordan Hill and Adrian Payne are not high on Tibbs's buddy list,
well, if
so
any,
to speak.
Yeah, if anything else, it gives you the opportunity to take a flyer or a few flyers on a guy or set of guys. But do you want to talk about the Celtics game, and then we'll get into the Bielitsa opinions?
Sure.
Shortly after that, the Wolves were defeated by the Boston Celtics yesterday, mm-hmm. Tuesday, March 15th. Payday in some worlds. 117-104 in a game that was hard fought during by both sides during the first half, and then in the second half it was all Celtics. Mainly, I think, because Rubio never went back into the game when Thibodeau pulled him out with four fouls.
Yeah, that is basically when the game fell apart. I mean, if I recall, the Wolves got off to a 9-point deficit, I think was the biggest deficit to start the game. Rubio did some things, had them come back, got into foul trouble. Gorgui Dieng got into foul trouble. And then the Celtics tightened it up, and it was pretty back and forth for a while until Rubio went into foul trouble again. I'm not blaming the game on foul trouble because I'm not convinced totally that the Wolves would have won with Ricky in there, but, I mean, I don't think they would have lost by 15 with him in there, personally. That's kind of where I stand.
I would have had this well-timed if I had adjusted my little minute bar on this year laptop screen to look up a specific statistics, but I screwed it up, so give me a minute to stall and make weird noises so that there's no dead air time. From the 8:40 mark of the fourth quarter, never mind, screw it. The point I'm trying to make, it just doesn't. All right, with 4 minutes left in the third quarter on, during a time where it felt like Rubio didn't get much, if any, time, I don't know, the NBA media stats page is screwing up and telling me Rubio played 8 minutes from the four-minute mark of the third quarter until the end of the game, which I know is untrue.
Mm-hmm.
The Wolves were outscored 43-31. They shot, 37.5% from the field. They were 2 of 11 from behind the three-point line. They just didn't generate offense, and it was mainly disappointing to see because Rubio didn't go back in at a time when the game was competitive, and then it was, don't bring Rubio back in and you're basically surrendering the white flag, Tom Thibodeau. And that is the disappointing part because we've talked all along because the Timberwolves are in a playoff race. Every game matters.
Especially when there are three teams behind the last spot.
Right.
That's the tricky part. Because, like, four games, let's say they're the 9 seed, and they are 4 games out behind Denver. That's one thing. Because then they have one team to deal with, one team to keep in their, not their rearview mirror, their windshield.
They're chasing teams. Yeah.
They're chasing one team in that scenario to get 4 games up. They are behind Dallas, Portland, and then Denver.
Yes.
That's the trick. And, I mean, I know we talked about how the Wolves' schedule is not pretty to end the season.
Yeah, it's not ideal based on travel. Throw opponents out the window. They only have, like, 4 home games left.
Throw out the fact they play Portland 3 more times, which is huge.
Yep, but they don't play Denver at all.
But then they also play San Antonio and Golden State and Utah and the Rockets and the Thunder. That is a tough schedule, and I'm not trying to damper the optimism that hasn't existed here in
you should be.
Years, but man, this is going to be tough.
I'm about to. Yeah, I mean, if you're the Timberwolves, you're in a playoff race. You lose to the Celtics. Dallas beats Washington.
Yep.
Portland beats San Antonio. New Orleans loses, so you get some luck there. But Denver, I believe, their last game was against Los Angeles on Monday, and they crushed Los Angeles. And I believe they play... they're playing right now. It's 59-46 in favor of Denver over the Los Angeles Clippers. So the other teams are getting it done, and the Wolves are not.
Right.
You've got to be disappointed if you're a Wolves fan, right?
Yeah. There's no way around it. I mean, I think they should be excited about the general progress that they've made, but they should be upset.
That's how Wolves fans have been told to feel for the last 3 years.
This is different, though.
I know, but did we get a taste? We got a taste of a playoff race, right?
We're getting a taste of it. It's not over just because they lost their backup power forward.
The loss in it, the Bielitsa injury is significant, but the loss to Boston in itself is alone significant too.
Right, but I mean, I guess my point is, I don't think that makes this. I'm not looking at it.
You're not.
I'm not looking at the playoff race as a past tense thing. They're not done with the playoff race.
You're not putting the nail in the coffin.
No, I mean, I don't expect them to make the playoffs, but I'm certainly not putting the nail in the coffin.
All right.
Not at this point. Not yet.
Four games down with
15 games to go. It's not likely. It's by any means.
It's like you watched the Twins' miraculous second half season come back to make the playoffs a few years ago. That was a thing, right?
Oh, man, was it ever.
A cross sports reference, an accepted one here on the Locked On Timberwolves podcast. Anything else on the game, though? I mean, I thought the Wolves took a punch at the beginning. I mean, Boston came out and did stuff, and I want to say they were ahead like 18-6 or you know something where it was bad news if you were just looking at it without sound in here in this studio like I was. But they were pretty resilient, I thought. I'm tempted to just peg the loss totally on Thibodeau for not bringing Rubio back in. I mean, Andy Grimsrud was tweeting about it.
Yeah.
And there's like 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter. The Wolves are down 12 to 15, something like that. And Grimsrud, I was on his bandwagon last night. He's pumping the Rubio should be back in bandwagon. And even PR responds, you know, four fouls, responds to a tweet that said, why isn't Rubio in the game? And I think you can play Rubio with four fouls with 10 minutes left in the game.
You kind of have to.
Right?
When you're down 11, 12, whatever it was at that point, I get it's four fouls. It's also Ricky Rubio. He still had 20-some points in that game. He's been on a tear.
Throw out the fact that it's Rubio. Guards by nature are better able to play through foul trouble and with foul trouble.
If
right?
he commits two more fouls, so be it.
Yeah,
I mean, then the game's over, but at least you tried.
He's going to be very aware of the fact that he's in foul trouble and he's not going to do stupid stuff. I put my money on Rubio's awareness in that situation. But instead, the game gets out of hand. Dunn didn't play well at all. So
yeah,
it's just you didn't get much from your replacement or what you were asking for. You know, you could go conspiracy theory on the bit and say the Wolves don't even want to make the playoffs or front office Thibodeau does. I'm not ready to go there, but you certainly could.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, compounding everything, you get the two injuries. I would feel for Lance Stephenson more if he didn't say something like, I've been doing a lot of watching basketball from my couch when he was asked how he was keeping in shape for the season when he didn't have a job. So
at least he was honest, I guess.
Well, you get points.
That's all I got.
You get points for honesty, but in the end, it's a business, and he did not make good business decisions from A, not only saying what he said, but B, doing what he did.
Yeah.
The Bielitsa injury is sad. He'll be in a contract year next year. I don't think him being out for the year, it's like he and Levine, their trade value, does it really diminish?
I think Levine's goes down quite a bit.
Really? You think so?
Like, I don't think anyone's willing to make a big trade for a guy like Levine like they would have had he been healthy all year until they see him recover fully. That's all. Like, I just think that people are going to want to see him come back to shooting over whatever 38% or 37% from deep, average over 20 points, just be an efficient 20-point-a-game scorer again before they're willing to trade for him. I could be wrong. Maybe someone is.
How's this? The timing of the injury and the circumstances that be make him more likely to be traded. I think you're more likely to see offers if you're the Wolves
sure.
while Levine is because they can offer lower.
I think the circumstances that
they can offer less,
lend
sorry.
Itself to justifiably trade Levine, especially if they end the year well. Not necessarily make the playoffs, but make it a thing, make it close, get it within one or two games. But I just have doubts that they're going to get offers that Tibbs would take seriously right now. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe someone really covets Levine, and that's definitely possible because he's...
Jimmy Butler, come on down. former Bulls player X, or former Thibodeau player X.
So this whole time we've been talking, I've been Google searching free agents at the power forward position for funsies.
Hey-o.
And I've come up with three that maybe Tibbs would take a flyer up, maybe.
Well, can we give him a benchmark to compare him to in Bielitsa's season averages?
Sure.
6.2 points, 3.8 rebounds, 1.2 assists in 18.3 minutes. As valuable as he was off the bench when he played well, he didn't play often, and he more often than not was underwhelming than compared to expectations. Go, three free agents.
One, cut this year after being traded to Phoenix from Atlanta, Mike Scott.
Great Scott. Mike Scott is available?
He's a free agent. The Suns cut him after they got him for cash.
Sign him to a 10-day.
This year, he was averaging 2.5 points per game and 11 minutes per game, shooting, ready for this, 29% from the field and 15% from deep.
Goodness gracious. How many total attempts do you have that in front of you?
1.5 in 11 minutes a game. That's the thing. That's something.
It's not a lot, though. It's not a lot of attempts.
In 11 minutes per game?
Well, how many total attempts is my question?
1.5 attempts. Total, so almost 2 attempts.
Total attempts the season
total
before
attempts.
He got traded. Take your time. Who cares about dead air?
27 attempts in 18 games.
Is that a lot?
In 10, 11 minutes per game? It's not a little.
To be fair,
the year before, just 1 year before,
the larger sample.
A bench player, 75 games, he took 158 attempts, shot 39% from deep.
Yeah, I take the larger sample. I didn't
even need
to look at it.
3 rebounds, so a stretch 4, basically.
Maybe the word's out between NBA coaches on him that something behind the scenes isn't good or his work ethic, et cetera, et cetera. But sign him to a 10-day. What the hell? Who's number two?
J.J. Hickson. 6 points, 4 rebounds last year.
For Denver.
With Washington. 15 minutes a game before that. He was with
Denver
for 20 games, 39, 7 points.
Then he was with the Magic before that.
Portland before that. Never played for the Magic.
Really?
Are you thinking of Brandon Bass?
Probably.
I mean, he's not a 3-point shooter, but
I'm out on Hickson. I don't even
sign
him to a 10-day.
He's an okay interior presence, a pretty good rebounder. He's better than Adrian Payne and Cole Aldridge, probably.
That's true.
But in fairness, if he was better than those guys, wouldn't he be in the NBA right now? Like, Tibbs isn't dumb. Would he sign him over Jordan Hill if he knew that he was better than Jordan Hill?
Barring, you know, him
demanding
more
money
than he should. Sure, yeah. But, no, that's a totally valid point. This guy like that should probably have a job.
Right.
Same thing with Mike Scott, though. I don't even sign Hickson to a 10-day. I'm out.
The last one, and this is either going to be a hell yes because he fits or a hell no because of several things. Jared Sullinger. As recently as last year, averaged 10 points and 8 rebounds. 2 years ago, I'm sorry. 10 points and 8 rebounds per game.
Is he jobless?
He is jobless. He just got cut.
By Toronto?
He got traded from Toronto to somewhere, and then they cut
Orlando.
Him. Was it Orlando?
Would it have been in the Serge Ibaka deal? I have a
feeling. Apparently the Heat are showing interest in Jared Sullinger. That's the most recent thing. They traded him to the Suns for P.J. Tucker, and then they cut him.
Well, the Suns have no reason for him, so that makes sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, the only trick...
He'll get a job somewhere.
The only trick, his career best in three-point percentage in 3 attempts per game, which is an okay number for a bench player, 28. Not good. Not good. If you're upset with Ricky Rubio shooting 32%, you don't want a backup four who's supposed to be a quote-unquote stretch four shooting 28%.
Yeah.
Although that's better than Shabazz Muhammad lately.
Yeah, and to build from that point, Bielitsa shot 31.5% from three this year. So you're not the bar is not exactly high to replace. I don't think he even accepts a 10-day deal anywhere if a team tries to sign it. He'll get another job
He'll get a deal for the rest of the year, I bet. And in fairness to him, I bet he'd play his ass off because he wants to get another deal after that.
Defends multiple positions?
Quote, unquote, defends.
Has his defense been notoriously bad?
I don't think it's been particularly good. He's never averaged anything over 0.7 blocks. I don't think defenses have ever been good with him on the floor. I think they're generally worse with him on the floor.
I'll lean and give him the benefit of the doubt that he could be a competent defender. And I'll say he could be a Thibodeau guy, and it wouldn't surprise me if the Wolves signed him.
Worst case scenario with him defensively, I could see a scenario where he's like a Peck, where he's not necessarily like this agile beast of a defender, but if you try to do anything in the post against him, he's so big and bulky, big, that you can't do much with him in the post.
Here's my brief what I look for in defenders if I'm just picking two things. Are you as tall as the other guy, and can you stay between he and the basket?
That's fair.
And I think Sullinger could could potentially
of course,
do that.
That is strictly one-on-one defense.
Yeah, I know. But if you're, you know, if you're going on a Thibodeau team, the system may help overcome your deficiencies. Blah, 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 blah. In order of those three, I think I'm inclined to take most inclined to take Scott, and then. But see, even that's just a flyer. I think if I'm signing any of them for 2 years, I do Sullinger.
Oh, I don't want any of them for 2 years.
But
I want one.
Gun is to your head, and you have to.
Oh God, Scott, because I think Scott can effectively defend small forwards, power forwards, and in spot situation centers.
Fair.
I think Sullinger can guard two positions. That's the only reason. But and he's a better 3-point shooter by percentage historically. And in this system, he would be a stretch four through and through.
Yeah, and you can make the argument that, you know, he came up in the Atlanta system, which is basically the Spurs system, so he's got to be a Spurs guy, right?
Yeah, therefore he's good. by some measure, he's good.
Good things will happen. Smooth segue, you mentioned Miami Heat have interest in Sullinger. That's who the Wolves play tomorrow.
Is Tom going to be there?
Tom Schreier?
He's in Florida.
Should we call him? Should we call
right
him
now?
Should we call him?
Let's do it.
Oh, man, this will be funny. You need to...
I'll fill the air time.
Talk about what you know about the Miami Heat.
The Miami Heat, they've been good, I think, overall.
They've won four of their past five. I can help
they
you there.
They just beat the Pelicans. They're up to 33-35 on the year. And, I mean, if we recall the last time they played, the Heat were on a tear. I think they'd won like 10 in a row.
Yeah, I think the Wolves were like their ninth consecutive
but
win.
But they didn't play that well against the Wolves, but they still managed to win. But they themselves are in the thick of a tight playoff race. They're tied for eighth with Detroit and just a half game behind Milwaukee for seven.
We got the firm denial there.
That was
rude.
In fairness, I was supposed to have him on this afternoon, and then I said, you know what, man, I can't do it this afternoon. So, I'll just do it with Timmy later tonight. And he was like, okay. And he's on a vacation in Florida, so we're happy for him.
Yeah, if he's on vacation, he shouldn't be forced to get a cold call.
No,
podcast.
But I think the justifiable reason behind that phone call was, are you covering the Wolves Heat tomorrow? Because I don't know where in Florida he is.
Try it one more time.
He's so dedicated to the bit. That
try it one more time.
He might be in Florida to cover the Wolves. I just don't know.
I think he's going for a wedding. I think.
No, it's a family trip, I'm told.
A family trip?
Yeah. I'm sure his brother went to Notre Dame. I'm sure his brother's thrilled about the win today. All right.
Let's see.
Phone, put him through.
Come
on now. 6-5-1.
Oh, don't say the number out loud. That'd be bad news. Now we all know that he's a 6-5-1.
Yeah, he's a St. Paul guy, dude.
The hackers are going to be all over this.
He always defends St. Paul.
Gross. I want nothing to do with St. Paul over the next few hours.
What about Saturday?
Tom Schreier. Definitely not Saturday.
Dude, firm denials. All right. Well, smooth segue because I do have somebody coming on the Lockdown Wolves podcast to talk about the Heat tomorrow. His name is David Rammel.
Oh, I like him.
Yeah.
I've been following him since, like, I had two followers, and he's been following me. He's a good dude.
Came up through the Crab Dribbles
system. There you go.
So.
There you go.
He'll be on tomorrow. We'll record. Podcast should be up before noon. So, Timmy, what do you think? We out of here? Stubbing herbs again?
I'm not against that.
All right, cool. Well, we're 23 minutes. We can wrap it up. This has been the Locked On Wolves podcast for Tim Fakeless at TimFakLIS. My name is Zachary Bennett at ZacharyBD. So long. So long. So long.
You are Locked On Timberwolves. Your
later.
Daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.